Speaking on this program is Jim Dearman.
Every new day gives us reason for expressing our gratitude to our God, who is truly alive and has made possible all things worth having in this life and certainly in the life to come. Many may respond to the goodness of God in various ways, yet the Scriptures tell us the goodness of God should lead us to repentance, Romans 2, verse 4. In Psalm 107, the psalmist expresses some very beautiful and meaningful thoughts that ought to remind us of the goodness of God and what our response to that goodness should be. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. This psalm begins with an admonition to all to give thanks to God. Why? Because He is good. God is the epitome of goodness and love, and the goodness and love of God prompted Him to extend His mercy to us in the most beautiful and meaningful way possible in the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ. It was the total goodness of God that caused Him to love you and me when we were totally unlovable. It was that complete goodness that caused the God of heaven to give up the darling of His bosom that we might have access to eternal life, to the abundant life now and forevermore. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Now, the second verse of this 107th Psalm calls upon those who have appreciated that goodness above anyone else to express that goodness to others. We should appreciate above anyone else the goodness of God if we are among the redeemed. The redeemed, those who have been saved from their sins, in other words, should appreciate the goodness of God above all others upon this earth. The world does not particularly appreciate the goodness of God. Those who are living their own lives, going their own way, living as they please, do not appreciate the goodness of God that brought salvation down from heaven because they have not responded to that goodness. They have not shown their appreciation in the only meaningful way possible, that is, through obedience to God's will. But those who are Christians, above all others, should appreciate the goodness of Almighty God. And as verse 2 of Psalm 107 admonishes, we should tell others of that goodness. Listen to it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, let the redeemed of the Lord talk about the goodness of God. Let's talk about our religion, not hide it. Now, generally, we think those who talk about their religion, about what the Lord has done for them, are a little strange, don't we? Of course, if one has an erroneous concept of salvation and of what God has done for him, then he is in error. And there are many, sadly, in that condition. However, one cannot criticize the enthusiasm and zeal often characteristic of those even in error religiously. But zeal and enthusiasm are not enough. We must have the truth. Yet the redeemed, those who do have the truth, the truly redeemed of the Lord, those who know they have the truth and have rendered obedience to that truth, sometimes say less about it than those who have followed the traditions and the teachings of men. How tragic. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed say that God is good. Let the redeemed say that they have been redeemed. Let the redeemed say that they've been saved from their sins through the grace and mercy of Almighty God through their obedience to the gospel. And let the redeemed call upon those of their loved ones, their neighbors, their friends, to do the same. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and our enemy is Satan. Yet Christ has dealt a fatal blow to Satan. The very first vague prophecy of the crucifixion of Christ in Genesis 3, verse 15, foretold of the time when Jesus Christ would bruise the head of Satan, while Satan would deal only a minor blow to the heel of Christ. You see, Satan's head has been bruised. A fatal blow has been dealt to him, if indeed we will avail ourselves of the wonderful opportunity we have through and in Jesus Christ. Satan cannot overcome us. Death and the grave can no longer hold the fear and horror for us that once they held before Christ came to die and before we took advantage of that sacrifice, if indeed we've done so. How much gratitude should be engendered in a heart that realizes it was without hope before Jesus Christ came to earth. You see, Christians above all others should praise God for His deliverance of them from sin and Satan, our greatest of all enemies. What has God done for us? How has His goodness been shown? Well, if we look further at verse 3 of Psalm 107, We see a figurative description of what God has done for us spiritually as Christians. Listen to what the psalmist writes. And gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Now here is a figurative description of our plight before we were brought together in the body of Christ, the church, added thereto by our obedience to the gospel of Christ. We were those wanderers. We were those in that solitary way. We were those who found no city in which to dwell. We were those who found no satisfaction, whose souls hungered and thirsted and fainted because there was no hope. Yet the psalmist says they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. That verse reminds us of the Beatitude, which says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." That beatitude beautifully depicts the state of those who mourn over their sins, who realize their lost condition, that they are hopeless and that there is no way out. Yet there is a way through Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that mourn over their sins, because there is comfort, there is solace, there is security, there is salvation. Why? Because the goodness of God has made salvation possible in sending Jesus to die. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses, the psalmist says. But that was only the beginning. That was only the beginning of what God did for us in His great goodness. He delivered us from sin. But the next verse says, and He led them forth by the right way. You see, not only has God delivered us if we're Christians, but now He leads us. We don't have to wander aimlessly. As Jeremiah wrote, it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Yet there are millions upon this earth who are still seeking to direct their own steps, to go their own way, to do their own thing. And yet it cannot be done. Not successfully. But because of the goodness of God, the goodness of God which delivered us from sin, we have direction in our lives. We have goals. We have heavenly aspirations. We know where we are going. We know why we are here. And we know from whence we have come. We know everything we need to know to be peaceful and satisfied and comforted in this life, because we are led by the will of God. The goodness of God did that for us. It delivered us from sin as we wandered aimlessly, and it brought us together as one in the body of Christ, the church. And now, the goodness of God leads us in the right way through His written Word, the last will and testament of Jesus Christ, the New Testament. He leads us in that way, but for what purpose? The psalmist says that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Yes, for that very purpose we are led by God, that we might go to a city for a dwelling place, a city of habitation, the heavenly city. That's where our citizenship really is if we're Christians. That's where our aspirations lie. That's where our hope is attached, all because of the goodness of God. Now, the world cannot do that for us. It cannot give us that hope, that direction. It cannot free us from sin and Satan. But the goodness of God did, through Jesus Christ, and it leads us to that heavenly city. Is it any wonder, then, that in the next breath, as it were, the next stroke of the pen, the psalmist writes, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Listen to that verse again. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." You know, that verse is repeated more than once in those very same words in this Psalm 107, as we're going to see as we further examine this chapter. It is interesting to note in the verses that follow verse 8 and verse 15, both of which say, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." It's interesting to note that in verses 8 and 15, we have explanations of why we should praise God. Verse 9, which follows verse 8, says, "For He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Yes, the goodness of God leads to goodness in man. Any true goodness in this world has to be traced to the goodness of God. The good that is done in this world is done through the influence of God, the influence of righteousness. Certainly that's true of the Christian. And how appreciative we ought to be, if we are Christians, that we can be good only because of the goodness of God. His goodness leads to goodness in us. It leads to a satisfaction of the longing soul that hungers and thirsts. And again, we're reminded of the Beatitude, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Thanks be to God, we can be filled through His goodness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, but only in and through Jesus Christ can we be righteous, and that is because of the goodness of God. You see, there's no way for man to be good outside of Jesus Christ. Oh, he may do beneficial things for others. He may be generous. He may give away every dime he has for all sorts of good causes. But no matter how much good is done, if that good is done outside of the relationship with Jesus Christ, then it is all for nothing in the final, eternal analysis. Only the goodness of God, which leads to goodness in those who follow God, can satisfy the longing soul. So the psalmist says we ought to be thankful that the longing within can be satisfied in and through Jesus Christ. Now, next time, in our final segment of this study of the goodness of God, as we're looking at it through Psalm 107, we will continue looking at this verse that is repeated in this psalm. That verse again is, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." There is so much we might learn about the goodness of God from the examination of this one chapter, Psalm 107. Of course, the goodness of God permeates the Scriptures as a whole. But we're concentrating our efforts on this one beautiful psalm, Psalm 107, and we hope you'll be with us next time for the conclusion of this important study, this very revealing study from Scripture on the goodness of God.